Welcome to another life-changing message of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. My wife is a good preacher, amen? Amen. May I have your seats, please? It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you again today. I think that people have the ministry and call to do certain things, and don't try to be what you're not, because it will be a problem. Amen? I think that's one of the problems in churches sometimes. Apostle try to be a singer when he's called to preach, and apostle called to preach, and they try to sing and cause a big problem. So in the book of Ephesians, Paul prayed and said in the very first chapter that God may open your eyes so you don't understand what he has called you to do. Amen? That's very, very important. So you wouldn't find yourself spinning around in mud, so to speak, and a journey that's supposed to take 11 or 10 days would take 40 years because you didn't pay attention to what God called you to do. Okay. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 138, the second chapter. Sorry, Psalms 138, verse 2. Psalms 138. Okay, well, last week we talked about the importance of God's Word, and we saw how a young lady, not a professor, not even a housewife, it's a humble woman named Mary, had a very impossible situation. She was going to have a baby, and she never experienced sexual intercourse with a man. So you say, how will this be? And then the angel explained to her and told her what's going to happen. And she made a statement and said, let it be unto me according to your word. My faith looks up to thee. May there be a performance of all that thou hast spoken. For I know that nothing is impossible with you. And those words change history forever. Where we had AD, where we had BC before Christ, we have in the year of our Lord. Jesus Christ's birth changed and transformed the landscape of history forever. Just by what? Words. Somebody saying words. Amen? So he says, I will praise toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. This is God is saying here that he has magnified, exalted, and put above all things his name. Above his name, the word. Now, when you think about how powerful God's name is, El Shaddai, double-breasted, Elohim, the creator, Jehovah Rapha, healer, and El Elyon, the most high God. God is saying that my word, my God, is still magnified above my name. How that happens? Because it takes the word of God to explain who God really is. See, words paint picture. I was thinking, if you want to build a house, you sit down with the architect and you say, the first floor, I want a bedroom, I want a living room, I want a bathroom that looks like this. And over here, I need a garage. And I also need the the second floor, I need X, Y, Z. So you see, so words crystallize or make things very plain. Now somebody wanted to get married, and they told the pastor, you know, I'd like to get married. And the pastor said, well, who do you want to get married to? And he said, ask anybody. And the pastor said, are you serious? And the pastor told her, now take a piece of paper and write down everything you need in a husband. And he said, I want a person 6'2", tall, dark, and handsome, like me. Okay? And the person will have athletic abilities and certain things. And when the person finished writing down all that person wanted, now the picture became very clear. I know not too long after, the person found a man exactly like she stated in her objective. So words, again, is very important. For example, if I say the word dog, $1,000 come into your mind, right? What kind of a dog do you need? Maybe you need a small chihuahua, or you need a real big pit bull. Do you need it brown or white or black? Words are very important. Don't take words for granted. So God says, I have exalted my word above my name. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Let's look at that. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It's now 4 o'clock. Isaiah 55, let me find it first. I actually know it from my mind, but I want us to quote it. 55, verse 10 and 11. And it says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither or from where it came or back there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give, and very important, seed to the sower and bread to the eater. There's some people who are sowers and some people are eaters. Be a sower. Amen? Let me talk about that. If you have one grain of corn, one grain of a coconut, one seed. In that seed you have a million corn, or a million coconuts, or a million whatever. How do you know that? You're going to plant it. You're going to sow it. So some people eat their seed that's supposed to produce a volume of abundance in their life. Amen? So, and if God says yes, sowers and eaters, they are. But be a sower. Amen? Be a sower. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whither I sent it. And when you live in New York and those places, it's easier to understand this. Because you read in the Caribbean about snow and stuff like that. You have no clue what that is. But you know that when it snows in New York, what it does, it creates water. This is why we say that April showers do what? Bring May flowers. So God says, just as the snow and the rain come from heaven and water the earth and does not go back to it, does not return to him void. And the word void means empty. And somebody used it on last week in another dream. If you have a check, a very good check, signature, name, date, and all the other features of a check. Once you take a pen and draw it as a void, and that check has happened, it's no good anymore. It's null and void, it's no good. It's empty, it does not produce it. But God says, my word is not like that. Hallelujah. It will return unto me, it will return to me void, but it shall prosper unto the thing where I sent. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. Jeremiah 1 verse 12 says that God watches over his word to perform it. God watches. That is actually like a hen, right? That lays eggs, and the hen goes over the eggs and warms the egg. And if that happens after 21 days, the chicken comes out of the eggs, comes out automatically to nature. If you leave that egg in a refrigerator for 100 years, it never reproduces itself. But once that the hen, the mother hen, goes on the egg and warms it, it has something that causes the egg to produce itself. Ain't God amazing? Ain't God amazing? And somebody wonders sometimes, how can a black cow eat green grass and gives white milk? Only God could do that. A black cow eats green grass and gives white milk. That's God. Amen? Somebody said God is amazing. God is amazing. Hallelujah. God's word will not return to him unfulfilled. It finds its target and fulfills its desires and its destiny. Read God's word. I'll give a testimony. When I was coming here, my wife gave me some money from my pocket. And I think I left it at home. And I have some money that I spent. But last week, I was down to zero. And I preached at this church. And the church gave me an offering. You understand where it's coming from? God met my needs, my financial needs to this church. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God has a way of meeting your needs. Hebrews, I think 13 verse 8 says, that I may boldly say, not timidly say, I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? Is God your helper? Let's say, God is my helper. What can man do unto me? Hallelujah. Romans 8 verse 31 says, if God be for us, hallelujah, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If he gave us his son, Jesus Christ, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. I think sometimes we walk too much. We try to, see, when you walk, it's not God doing it. I'm not saying you shouldn't walk, you understand? But sometimes we do things thinking that we're doing it. No, it is God who's doing it. Amen? For example, God says, give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So God has a man or a woman out there to meet your need. Hallelujah. Psalms 119 verse 89 says that forever, O Lord, thy word is established in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is established. God's word is established in heaven. And this morning we're talking in Sunday school about flexibility and inflexibility. Is God flexible? Is he inflexible? Are you flexible or inflexible? Something to think about, right? When God gives a word, God does not change the word. You have to be inflexible and also say, God, your word says this, and I believe it, and guess what happened? It shall come to pass. I used an example last week, Sunday as well. I said that all my bills are paid in full. Let's say it together. All my bills are paid in full. One more time. All my bills are paid in full. You better believe that. Whether you go to college, whether you want a house, whether you want a car, whatever the situation is, God has already given you a blank check. It's a matter for you to believe God and speak God's word. Amen. And I'm telling you, having served God for 20 something years, that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not by Bloomberg, not by de Blasio, not by Donald Trump, or Ms. Clinton. Do you know that we in God's kingdom, we are higher in status than all those people as God's son? You understand that? This is why God asks us in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter to pray for those in authority. If God has me to pray for you, that means I have more authority than you. So God says in 1 Timothy, I beseech you, I beg you, that first of all, intercession, praise and thanksgiving be made for all men. And he said for kings and for those in authority, that you may lead a quiet life with all godliness and honesty, and that men may come to know the only mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. He's the only mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. So, what will God ask us to pray for president if he's hiding us? We are hiding them. Amen? Their success depends on the body of Christ. And A lot of the world's problems are because we are not doing what we're supposed to do. Amen? You don't believe that? It's true. Prayer, the word of God changes atmospheres, conditions, situations, places, and people. Hallelujah. 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 God's word is very powerful, people. If you understand how powerful God's word really is. This is what Jesus used. Listen to this. In the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, the 4th verse, and Matthew, the 13th chapter, they talk about the parable of the sower. When the word of God is being sown, listen to this. The devil comes and steals the word, or tries to steal the word immediately. When I'm speaking to you, Satan will try to do something to distract you or to disturb you. See, he's stealing the word because he knows that if that word of God catches fire in you, that he's in trouble. And that's amazing. Now, Matthew 4 chapter, Christ is tempted by the devil. And he said to him, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know what he did to Jesus? It had nothing to do with hunger. It had to do with relationship. Are you a child of God? See, we think it had to do with hunger. If Christ fasted for 40 days in a row, why can't he fast for another day? But Satan challenged his relationship. Are you the Son of God? If you're God's Son, obey me and turn this stone into bread. And Christ says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the word of the mouth of God. Now how we live. So Satan knows that more than us. Wow. That amazed me. That Satan would take the time. Let me tell you something. You can sing and they're against worshiping. Alright? You can dance and all that kind of stuff. Satan takes note. But once the word of God is preached, he comes to steal the word. The word upsets and annoys him. Dance all you want. But get the word of God. Amen. Speak the word of God. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? Nothing. Do you know, listen to me. I was thinking about this. Of all the different species of animals in the world, millions in the sea, millions in the wilderness and in the mountains, birds are flying. Only one has the ability to articulate and to speak. Guess who that is? You and I. Man. You know how unique you are? How powerful you are? Because if God's going to do something in the earth, he's going to use us. I hear plays beautiful music. And they play the music, the keyboard, the organ, the bass, they're going to make the songs of what we're singing, but they cannot articulate the word of God. Man. You know why? Because as God's children, God has called us to have dominion in the earth. You know that? Genesis 1, 26. We were created in God's will and likeness to have dominion in the earth. How that happens? No. God gave us, the church, what we call the power of attorney. This is a legal term. To transact business on his behalf on earth. Man. Minister Bond always say, you know, when you get through, you say, then I'll get it from him. But think about this. Think about this, that God has chosen you and I, male and female, created him, like him, to chance at business on earth. How does it happen? Through the spoken words. That way, humans are the only species that can speak. That put my mind last week, when I have notes about this as a matter of fact here. I'm never reading that kind of stuff. But I want to understand how powerful that is. Who was a power attorney? We were building our house in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and my wife and I knew a pastor, and we sent a letter having notarized from here and sent him in St. Vincent and gave him the power of attorney to transact business on our behalf. And whenever they wanted to buy some lumber or some cement or whatever they wanted, he had a checkbook that he signed on our behalf, and the checks were accepted as genuine. Wow. That's amazing. Think about that in a nutshell. Now think about how important you are and how unique you are, that God has given you the power of attorney through your words. Notice nobody else, no tiger, no lion, no leviathan, nothing in the sea or land or air can speak except us. And God controls speech. God himself controls speech. Now God sent an angel to a prophet named Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, about his wife Elizabeth, who was to give birth to John the Baptist. And he was doubting the angel, doubting God. And God closed up his mouth, his speech, until the child was born. So speech doesn't come like just like that. It is a gift from God given to his children to help us to function effectively and efficiently on earth. And don't take it for granted. Don't speak words crazy and just say what you want. Words are like seeds. Again, Christ talked about that. Do you know the great oak tree that people cut down to make buildings and tables and cabinets came from an acorn seed? That is so small, if it falls here, we'll never see it. How small it is, but when it grows up that's so big, and it's sending out with your words. And what I discovered is that if you drop a seed unintentionally, inadvertently, unknowingly in the soil, it grows. Like when you plant. See, if you plant a seed, it grows. If you drop one in the soil accidentally, once it gets water and air, it grows as well and produces the same seed. The point is, be careful what you say. Because words that you might use accidentally and talk a lot of stuff, you can't do this, and you know this can happen, because those same words will grow and destroy you. Amen. James talks about the tongue. He says in the book of James that a great big 40-ton ship that goes on the road is controlled by a little thing called a rudder. A rudder, maybe as tall as me, in a very big ship. In something as small as this. There's a piece of something you put in the water. But that ship will go down the road 100 miles an hour. Once you turn the rudder like this, the ship goes like that. You turn it like this, it goes like that. That's your tongue. You can change your life by and with your tongue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, if you want to change your tomorrow, you got to change your word today. Man, if you want to change your tomorrow, change your words today. Jesus Christ says, you will have what you say. Don't say what you have. Say what you want. Change it. Amen? And words are obedient. You give words an assignment and words are like us. Words, let me tell you something. You know the word of God is God himself? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. What else? And the Word was with God. Something was made by him. All things were made by him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. Think about that, guys. Think about how powerful that is. John 1. And the Word of God says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Your words will become flesh and dwell among you as well. Listen, Jesus Christ says in John 6:63, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Can you have that as well, my brother? John 6:63. There's a big conversation happening, and Jesus Christ just made this plain to his people. The words I speak, John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profited nothing. See, it's not the flesh that makes you prosperous or have you to be poor. It is the words that you speak. So Christ says, the words I speak. My question is, what about you? The words that you speak, are they spirit and life? My words that I speak, Nelson Samuel, they are spirit and they are life. And if I speak something that is negative, I correct it. Because you remember the seed that fell in accidentally and inadvertently in the soil and it grew up? If your words just fall from you like that and you don't correct them, they can affect you. Because Satan will take those same words and destroy you. See, Satan doesn't live fear. Amen? Now listen to this. When you speak, God has angels. There are some that fight. Michael, who was involved in a war with, in the book of Daniel, and there are Gabriel, who speaks. Now when you speak a word, let's turn to Psalms 103:20. When you speak a word, it doesn't just go in the air like that. As a matter of fact, when you pray, what God says in the book of Revelation, in the 4th chapter, that our prayers are taken by angels into golden vials. Golden vials, golden bowl before God. So when you pray, is that the angels have the work to do. We said Psalm 103. Yes? Verse 20. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Notice that. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength. See, they're fighting, they're strong. Who perform his word. So when you speak the word of God, angels are activated. Hallelujah. So when you speak words, you give strength to angels. And when you speak negative words, already there, the folly hand. The folly hand and they can't do nothing. They can't help you at the time. Because the only work according to the word of God. Amen? Let's see what verse 21 says. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him doing his will. He's still referring to the angels. So the angels, they're strengthened and they do the will of God. Man, this is amazing. In the book of Joshua, to the end of the verses, the 6th chapter, the 5th chapter rather, maybe verses 11, to the end. God told Joshua, I want you to take Israel into the promised land. And when Joshua went somewhere, he saw, I think it's the 5th chapter, and Joshua, let's look at the end of it. God didn't say that, but I know it's somewhere there. And Joshua, what is his name? Yeah. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And the other verse, he said, "No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord had to say to his servant?" Look at that. Joshua said to the angel, "What do you have to say to me?" Isn't that amazing? But what is amazing also is that he asked the angel, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" The angel said to him, "No, I'm here neither for you, nor for my adversary. I am here on assignment by God." Hallelujah! Amen. I'm here on assignment by God. So where we are right now, this place is full of angels. I had a glimpse of that. I was in Virginia. I was walking down there, spent 10 weeks. I had a nice life, living in a hotel for 10 weeks. That's a good life to live. I'm at a job. Company did for everything for me. And one morning I was exercising, and I saw from the curtain light coming through and dust. Like dust, you know, if you have a... This room is also full of dust as well, by the way. This room is full of dust, but you can't see it. So, as the light came through and the curtain moved, I saw the dust. I said, "Wow." Spirit of God said to me, "You see those dust?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You have more angel in this room, but not all this dust is flying around here." Hallelujah. So when you go somewhere, you're never alone. When you get into your car, God's angels are on assignment with you because you're a child of God. Amen. Did I tell you you're very special? You are very special. When God Almighty gives you the power of attorney to transact business on his behalf, you have to be very special. Because God knows what he's doing. Amen? Wow, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. God chose me. Not the president. Not the prime minister. Not even my mother. Because some of them parents have the favorite. Amen? But God himself chose me and gave me the power of attorney to transact business on his behalf so that the world could perform as God wants it to perform. Somebody say hallelujah. But I may boldly say the Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? So I was saying that if God gave us his son Jesus Christ, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He says, as a matter of fact, who can condemn us? Nobody. Man, I feel excited. Can you imagine that nobody can bring any condemnation to us? Why? Because Christ himself sits at God's right hand interceding for us every day. Oh my God. I mean, that'd be very special, man. Hallelujah. Let's talk to that. Holy Ghost wants us to go to Romans 8, verses 33 and 34. Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 33, 34. What happened to the amen? All right. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? See, I am elected by God. Man. You know, a couple of years ago, we had an election here between Bush and Al Gore. Remember that? And the people selected Bush. You know, Bush was not elected. Bush was selected. Al Gore won the election. He was selected to be president. That's another story, by the way. But what God said, that God elects us. God is the one who justifies, to set free. Verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Man, God. Sometimes somebody tell you to pray for them. Say, I pray for you. Sometimes they forgot it. They didn't pray for you. But guess what happened? Jesus is at God's right hand every day, interceding for us. That's why you're saved still. Amen? That's why you're saved still. Because God intercedes, because Christ intercedes for us. I love the last few verses in the same chapter here. Because when I gave my heart to Jesus, one guy gave me 3 months to remain as a Christian. That's 36 years ago. More than that. 3 months. And I was in the police at the time. And I was the only police Christian. I was the only policeman who was a Christian in the police force. A place called Angola. So if you're home by yourself, you're three of you in the house and you're alone, say, so what? Be a Christian. As a matter of fact, your light shines brighter when it's dark. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't complain and no, light shine brighter when it's dark. You come with a light in here, now a flashlight, you put it on, you won't see the light. But take this light off and you will see above where the light is. That's how you are. Wherever you are, shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and the world. Glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So when this policeman gave me the 3 months, I lived a life that was crazy before I was a Christian. Crazy. I spent 10 years smoking weed. And then not smoke weed, like pushing, selling, have people to work for me. Now, people don't hear it, but it's important to know how powerful God is. And one day, get up and say, I'm going to change my life, and God changed my life, that's it. Then Satan, in the comparison with the Satan, the devil, do you know, you know Satan is defeated? Huh? If you understand that some of our prayer will be different. Satan is defeated. You guys are on your feet already. You have to maintain the victory that Christ defeated already. Let me tell you something. The greatest tragedy came into the world when Adam and Eve sinned. Eve was deceived, Satan disobeyed, and the whole world was destroyed because of that. Alright? We call it, we have a form, then we became deformed and conformed to the system. And then God had to transform us. God had to reform us and then transform us back to who we are supposed to be in Adam. Amen? But the greatest miracle is when Christ arose from the dead. Amen? So the greatest tragedy was when Adam and Eve sinned, but the greatest miracle was when Christ was risen from the dead. So living that kind of crazy life, and I had fun, you know. I spent athlete, I spent running, I know every character in the country, and the people from all over the place. I had a nice life as a sinner. God knows. But it wasn't my thing. Because I grew up in the church as a young guy. And I gave my heart to Jesus. And a guy came and challenged me and gave me 3 months. And I just go to the police station, Romans 8:37, and say, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus. When I said that, something happened. I didn't know the power of the word then. See how powerful the word of God is? That happened in 1980, thereabout. What year are we in now? 2016? That's about what? 20-something years. God kept me. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Greater is He who is in us. Oh man, let's finish on that. 1 John 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. You gotta feel your faith in these words, amen? Feel your faith. Doubt your doubts. God is greater than circumstances. 1 John 4, verse 4. And it reads thus. Little children, you are of God. You belong to Him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's read this again. Little children, you are of God. Do you know what that means? You are like God. You're born again like God Himself. We are the God Himself. We are clones of God. We are like Jesus. If you're a believer, as Christ says, if you see me, you see the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. If you're a believer. Why? Because I am like God. Recreated in His image. Ephesians 4 verse 24 says that. Put on a new man who is recreated like God. We need to renew ourselves. You're not just barely coming to church and hopefully something happens. No, you are powerful. Hallelujah. Like Jesus Himself. Christ said, the same work I do, what happened? You shall do them also because I go to the Father. You and Christ have the same Holy Ghost and the same last name. Hallelujah. Think those things and believe them. Christ is better than you. No, you worse than Him. No, you better than Him. You have the same Father. Somebody say hallelujah. This is very important, church. We need to understand this. And this is why the church of God, over the last 100 years, we just go to church, you clap your hand, and people come and do us to the field. No, you're powerful. You're blessed abundantly. Christ came that you have life, and have life how? Just barely getting along? More abundantly. I want to see that in your life. That's the evidence. Fred Price, evidence. Do you have enough evidence? That's important. Amen? Let me show you what evidence of God is good. You can be serving God and your leg cutting off, and your water cutting off, and you don't have this. No, man. Now if God is your father, man, you're rich beyond your wildest dreams and comprehension. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all you can do, dream, or think about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians say that it's God who is all the while, who is working in us. Who's working in us? Greater is he who is in you than he does in the world. And what I'm teaching you, Christ taught, you know. In Hebrews, the second chapter, Jesus called us brothers. Jesus called us brothers. And this is what we're supposed to be teaching. But we come and say, why would this baby Christian? Would this baby get along? You know, we can't make it. No, man, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen? So look at this again. It says, but little children, you are of God, you belong to him, and have already defeated. Already defeated. Say, I have already defeated the enemy. I'm more than a conqueror to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. See, this is not, no, by this is not, here's a rah, say rah, whatever will be. You guys know the song, right? Born of a little guy growing up, that was the number one song. Think about that song. When I was just a little child, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? And we must say, the future is ours to see. Hey, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, the future that ours to see. Hey, Sarah, Sarah. That was the number one song. And people believe that stuff. No, God says, got your future planned already, man. We know, we read the book, and God says you're winners. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus today. Hallelujah. We're coming to an end. Amen. And I've already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. 1 John 5, verse 4. All right? 1 John 5, verse 4. Hallelujah. 1 John 5, verse 4. Let's see what the one says. 1 John 5, 4. 1 John 5, 4. Little ones, look at this again. Is this the same thing? No. Oh, okay. This is 4, 4. 5, 4 says, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And then the born again people in this place, raise your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're born again, guess what happened? You are victorious. And you overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even your faith. You gotta feed your faith on these things every day. Go over them. This is why I like this song that we sang earlier on. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let me give you an example of that. We plant some fruits, cucumbers, lettuce, tomatoes, peppers, and so forth. And we wet those things more than in the evening, weren't we? When the sun was hot, you know what happened? They hardly produce. I don't wet them. But you see those things were near to a river? Hot man. If they were near to a river, they'd be green and laughing. A grinning. You ever see plants grinning? There was a little grin because of the water. Plants would laugh. So Psalms 1, in water, God says that under the tree, and I say this almost every day, planted near to the river, who shall bring forth his fruit in his season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth prospers. And it says, the ungodly are not so in the other verse. They are like the shaft that the wind driveth away. Hallelujah. Do you glad you're not ungodly? Amen. We are trees planted by the rivers of water, and we grin at circumstances. We're just excited. Amen. I told you we're supposed to have joy. Joy. Do you know we're supposed to have joy in church? Nobody believe that? Huh? You tell me what would a person spend $16,000 to get a ringside seat to watch OKC and Golden State Warriors? $16,000 and they want to come to church for free. I'm telling you, I look at those things. Something is wrong. Because we're coming to church like this. Like soldiers, you can't laugh. You know? Do you know when they smile, it increases your face value? Huh? When you smile, it increases your face value. You look better. If I see somebody smiling, guess what happens? They're smiling down too. They might be smiling at me, by. But if it isn't like this, guess what life is? See? It takes only muscles in the face to frown, but they can feel the face to smile. Amen? We need to have some joy in church. Some people look like they're baptized in lime juice. God wants us wealthy, happy, and healthy. Believe it. This is why Christ came, man. This is why Christ came. And for over 2,000 years, God made us rich. And some of us don't understand it. I was going to say we're still poor, but I don't want to make a confession. I declare you're rich. Amen. I declare richness in your life. And you're going to say it all the time. Amen. I'm coming to an end. Because I do a lot of studies. Amen. I think you need a Burger King message today. Or Kentucky Fried Chicken. You need a Peter Luger steak. Hallelujah. So, who is it that is victorious over? Who is it that conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusting, and relies on that fact. Amplified version. One more time. 1 John 5 verse 4. First John 5 verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God is victorious over the world, even our faith. And verse 5 says, who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact. Anybody believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in here? What that says is that you overcome the world. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says that we have the same kind of faith that we speak. See, faith speaks. Amen. Faith speaks. I'm closing. But when God wants to get something in the world, God speaks it. I'll come to a close. Talking about assignment as well. God wanted Christ to come into this world. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. God told Satan, I will cause the seed of the woman's seed, to stamp on your head, you will bruise his heel. In Deuteronomy, in the 18th chapter, verses 15 to 18, God, Moses said that God will raise up somebody like him, a man, not an angel, and then he must listen to him. Isaiah 7:14, where it says, unto us child is born, right, and so forth. God was releasing the word all through this century until we come down to Micah talk about Jesus Christ coming, until God was ready, then he sent an angel to our lady named Mary. And Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. My faith looks up to you. May there be a performance of all that thou hast spoken. For I know that nothing is impossible with you. Those few words, as I said, change history and the world forever. Change your world by speaking what God says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. This invisible world, Hebrews 11 chapter, think of verses 3 to 6. Hebrews 11, 3 to 6 say that this visible world was created by the invisible world of God, because there's power in God's word. May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.